Welcome to the Bringing Rural Back podcast, where we help you live a more prepared and sustainable life today so that you can have a better tomorrow, no matter what. This is your host, Greg Carter, and this is episode number 22. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about things you can do now to prep for next growing season. Before we do that, though, like always, I want to talk to you for a minute. I'd like to remind you that we have the Rural Roundtable. We have experts on, you know, homemade health and beauty supplies. We have experts on homeschooling, permaculture, off-grid living, preparedness, animal husbandry, and so much more. If you have a question on really almost anything having to do with the homesteading or preparedness lifestyle, send your questions in to theruraleconomist@gmail.com. I'll get it to the appropriate expert, and we will have them record an answer, and we'll have it out shortly. We should be having, if everybody gets me their answer like they say they will, we will have our first ever full episode of Rural Roundtable Answers. I'm really excited about that. Also, swing by theruraleconomist.com and join our newsletter. This is just the best way to be able to keep up with what all's going on. We send links to all of our shows through iTunes, through Stitcher. You can also subscribe to the podcast through Podcast Addict, which is actually the app that I prefer because it will search all of the different venues for podcasts out there, and I have them all in one place, and I kind of like the way it works. So, with that, we're going to talk about things you can do now to prep for next growing season. Now, this is really for everybody, all of us that are in the Northern Hemisphere. In the Southern Hemisphere, you know, they're into spring, going towards summer. In the Northern Hemisphere, we really haven't even gotten into winter yet. We're not officially into winter for, well, nearly 2 weeks. Week and a half. But there are things that we can do now to help improve our next harvest and increase our long-term food sovereignty. Now, we're going to be talking about sovereignty, personal sovereignty, a heck of a lot in the next few weeks and months. Even though there's a good bit of time before next spring, Actually, I just put in my order for some bare root fruit trees, and we'll get there in a little bit. So, what are some things that you can do now that will either help improve your harvest next year or will help minimize your workload next spring when everything gets fired up? Now, that's one reason that I like doing as many chores in the wintertime as I can. You know, unless you have animals on your homestead, even if you do have animals, most of your chores have gotten a lot lighter around the homestead. You know, there's not any weeding anymore. You're not fertilizing. You're not, you know, I'm not harvesting anything anymore. I'm not planting, there's just a lot, you know, we're not canning anything right now. There's a lot less to do this time of year. So this is a perfect time to be able to do the things that it really doesn't matter what time of year you do them. Thing number one is cleaning up the garden bed. After the growing season has ended, there's always some cleanup that has to be done. Plants that have played out have to be removed. You can simply cut them off even with the ground and leave the roots in the ground, and the roots will rot and actually add to the soil structure. The vines and stems can be removed and composted or shredded and used as a component in mulch or even burned. The only real time you shouldn't leave the plants anywhere near your growing area is if the plants were diseased. If the plants were diseased, you need to pull them up completely by the roots and get rid of them completely. You can throw them in the garbage or you can burn them or what have you, but you don't want to leave diseased plants in the ground because that disease can actually get in the ground and hop right over to your next plants next year. It's also the perfect time to remove like tomato cages and stakes and any of your infrastructure in your garden. Tomato cages may have to be cleaned. It depends on how good a job you did of weeding and all like that. I've seen tomato cages that were so mangled and just all knotted up with not just tomato plants, but also with grasses and things like that that grew up and used them as a climbing trellis, where the cages actually had to be burned off. Now, you can only do this if you got wire cages, but if you did a decent job, you can just strip off the tomato vines and everything like that. By taking them up now and stacking them up neatly and putting them somewhere out of the weather, they're going to last a heck of a lot longer. If you leave the cages in the ground, they'll rust a lot faster, and it'll shorten their usable lives a good bit. The same thing is true for wooden and bamboo stakes. Now, you know, a lot of people, they'll get bamboo stakes, and in their mind, they're going, this is a one-season thing, and every season they have to either go purchase or cut new bamboo stakes. Well, I like to pull them stakes up, and the reason that I like to do it is I'm able to look at those stakes, and, you know, I haven't had a year. Actually, I don't think I've ever had a year where I had to replace every single one of the stakes. Now, yeah, I had to replace some, but my big thing is every dollar that I save by not having to buy additional infrastructure for the next year is a dollar that I can put to use somewhere else to help increase our personal sovereignty. Just simply pulling them out of the ground and putting them somewhere out of the weather extends the wooden and the bamboo's lifespan quite a bit. Woods, you can actually, if you so desire, you can coat them with some boiled linseed oil, and that will extend their life as well. There are some folks that don't like to do that. They don't like to put anything like that in the ground, and I understand completely. But by the time you get ready to do it the next year, a lot of it's evaporated away and really soaked into the wood. So it's not generally that big a deal, but if you don't want to, I understand. Now, the reason I mentioned that, I know some folks that do that. I do not do it personally, but that is something that you can do to greatly extend the life of your wooden infrastructure. Now is also a really good time to be able to add to your garden's infrastructure. Places like social media, yard sale pages, and trading places, and Craigslist. You can find tomato cages, you can find bee boxes, you can find garden tools. You can find pretty much any kind of equipment right now this time of year. Now, if they're trying to sell it, they may hold on to it till next spring. If they're just trying to get rid of it, trying to clean out their garage or what have you, a lot of times you can find some of these items for free or next to free, you know, near nothing. Because a lot of people, they'll get a wild hair and they'll decide they'll try gardening and something will go wrong and they don't have as much grit and determination as the rest of us do. So as soon as they run into a problem or they have what they perceive as a failure, then they just quit. I've had enough of this. I'm just going to shut it all. Let it go. Okay. So a lot of times you can get these supplies. And then there's a lot of folks this time of year that kind of get in a tight financially. And they'll sell everything that's not tied down just to make sure that Honey Snookums has a good Christmas. So a lot of times you can get good deals on equipment and infrastructure this time of year. Okay? Next thing I'd like to talk about is planning. Now, it may seem early, but it's not. For me, this is the time of year when I'm able to think about how everything produced this year. Okay, what varieties did well? What didn't? For the varieties that didn't do so well, could I have done something where they would have produced better? Did I have them in the right spot? You know, Did they get enough water or enough sunlight or too much water or too much sunlight? Did it get too hot on them in the summertime? You know, there's a lot of questions that we can ask. I've probably told you already, our tomatoes this year did incredible. Now, we put in some sauce tomatoes that during the hottest part of the summertime, they just kind of laid there and didn't do a whole heck of a lot. But when it started cooling off, man, they came in gangbusters. They started producing, and they produced clean up to the frost. And actually, due to where they were, I didn't think about it when I planted them at the time, where they were, they actually made it through three frosts because they were in a heat sink. So, can't put them there again next year. Because, yes, they'll produce great late in the year, but they don't produce any other time because it's too stinking hot there. It's a microclimate. We planted them along a wall on the south side, so they get plenty of sun and everything like that. But they didn't get the airflow. They didn't get any shade at all. So the sun just beat them down really bad. So they will be moved. That same variety I'll use, but they'll be moved. Okay. And our peppers didn't do real well this year either, so I've got to move them as well. Now, it's also the perfect time to go, you know what, are we going to expand or are we going to reduce our growing area? Now, this past year, I reduced my growing area, and I tried something new. I tried absolutely no-till gardening completely everywhere for the first time, and it did great. So next year, we're going to expand again. Are you going to do, you know, raised beds? Are you going to do in the ground? Where are you going to put them? What size will they be? This is critically important if you're doing raised beds, what size they'll be. You know, making an idea, drawing it out on paper. And I know a lot of people go, oh, I just put it right there. Okay, I know a lot of folks that do that, and I have actually done that in the past, and normally when you do that, it's a mistake. Sometimes you luck up and it's okay, but by taking the time to actually, you know, draw it out on a piece of paper to scale, it's going to help you a lot. So we're going to be expanding our one garden bed. We're going to be adding another garden bed in a shaded area, which will be our leafy plants. I'm going to be, Lord have mercy, I'm going to be adding an herb garden. And there's several things that I'm going to do, and they're going to require infrastructure. So by getting that started and done now, when the growing season starts, we can just go out with gangbusters. Now, you can, especially if you're planning on doing no-till, you can actually prep the garden beds now for next season. Now, how the heck are you going to do that? Well, placing dark plastic or tarps over the area that you're planning on planting next year, especially if you're going in the ground, will cause many of the weeds and grass seeds to germinate and then die throughout the winter season. This is going to greatly reduce the amount of weeding that you'll have to do. It'll actually, you know, it'll kill a lot of the stuff that you'd have to be fighting next year. This is critically important if you're going to do the no-till system, because that's going to save you a ton of work. And this is also the time where you can order your wonderful seed and nursery catalogs. To any hardcore gardener, a seed or a nursery catalog is as good as an old Sears and Roebuck wish book. Now, if you don't know what that is, when I was a kid and anybody older than I was, about a week ago or so, this time of year, you would get this massive book. It was like, I want to say it was like 3 inches thick, and it was the size of a big full-blown magazine, and they had the full-color pictures and had all of the stuff that all of the mamas and daddies and all the kids wished they could have. That's why they called it the Wish Book. So you can actually get carried away with seed and nursery catalogs if you're not careful, if you're hardcore. This gives you the ability to check out new varieties and fruits and vegetables, see what you might want to try this next year. I like White Harvest Seed Company. They're partners of mine. We've been working together for over a year. They're really good people. They're from Missouri. They'll be able to tell you what should work in your agricultural zone, what shouldn't. They're real good folks. You can look them up at WhiteHarvestSeed.com. This is also the time of year to mulch your garden. What? Mulch your garden? Yep. Like I said, last year I went completely to no-till. Completely. And what I did, which I may do a whole show on it, maybe later in the spring, but I may do a whole show on it, is I put in my plants and I laid cardboard down around my plants and in the pathways. I coated the whole thing in cardboard and then I mulched over the whole thing. Yep, sure did. I mulched over the whole thing. Now, this, I didn't have to water very little because the mulch helped keep the moisture in. And I've started mulching my beds right now because over the winter, some of the mulch will break down. And as it breaks down, it's going to leach nutrients into the soil. And every year, my soil bed, my garden bed, is just going to get better and better and better and better. So now is a perfect time to mulch your garden beds. Okay? And there's plenty of resources available right now. Fallen leaves make a great mulch. They will gradually improve your soil. Mulched leaves are best, but if you don't want to do that, just raking leaves and piling them in your garden spot will help too. It's not going to be as good, but it'll still help. Whole leaves should be piled about 8 inches to 12 inches deep across the entire garden bed. Ground or mulched leaves, about 4 inches. This will inhibit any winter weed growth. Now, where we are, we have actually quite a bit of winter weed growth. They're the more cold-hardy weeds, and they just blow up all over the place. And actually, last winter, my garden was coated in what I would call winter weeds. Now, they're not hard to pull up or anything like that, and they do protect the soil, so they have their purpose. They're a good ground cover. But I would rather me be in control of how I protect my garden than allow just whatever to happen. Okay, I'm emulating nature while improving on it at the same time. Now, mulching is really important if you have heavy clay or real sandy soil. Alright, as the mulch and leaves and everything break down, then it's going to add structure or organic matter to your soil. Just right in the top, but as it works in, and it will work in, then your heavy soils are going to get lighter. Your sandy soils are going to move more towards the middle. That's the cool thing. Composting and mulching can help every soil type, because you're wanting to move towards the middle. You know, composting is like that too. Composting, yeah, you can do it wrong, but even if it's just halfway done right, it's still better than not doing it at all. So mulching your soil. This is also a really good time if you wanted to start a seasonal side business. And that depends on where you live. There are some places that in order to have a business, you got to have a business license and training. Government intervention. But, if the government hadn't gotten that oppressive in your area, a teenager, young adult, you can get you a blower vac mulcher. They've got them, plug-in powered, battery powered, and gas powered. You're going to want it to be the mulcher. It'll suck up those leaves, put them in a bag, and it's going to condense them. And then you're going to want to, have you a wheelbarrow or something to be able to dump them in. But you can just put up a flyer or go to your neighbor and go, hey, I'll get all these leaves up for you and I'll dispose of them for you for X dollars an hour or X dollars a job. Well, as soon as you get one or two, then people's going to see you out there doing it and they're going to be asking you about it. You can actually make a pretty decent side income just sucking up leaves that you take home to put on your garden. So you're making money while you're getting more materials to put on your garden, which will make your garden more productive. For a teenager, excellent side income. Even for an adult, if you're trying to scrape up some money to get Honey Snookum something for Christmas, this might be a good way to spend a couple of hours on, whenever you have some spare time to get one. Now, a decent blower vac will run anywhere from, maybe you could find one on Craigslist, but a decent one new is going to run $150 to $250. Well, shoot, man, two decent-sized yards and you've already paid off for your equipment. You got your equipment for free with the exception of a little bit of gas and some labor, and then everything else is gravy. So this is a good opportunity, especially if you live, urban, suburban, or semi-rural. There's always a chance. Around where we are, all you'd have to do is go to the feed store and stick up a flyer. Or go to an older person's house in your community and go, hey, I want to get all the leaves out of your yard. I'm not going to charge you anything, but I want you to tell all your friends that if I do it for them, they'll need to get a quote. And then you instantly got goodwill in your community and you got stuff to put on your garden. Be aware of the rules in your community. We don't want you to get in trouble. Because they've got to have their part and parcel and rip people off. Next, winter is the perfect time to plant bare root trees. As long as your ground's not frozen. Now, bare root trees are bought when the trees are dormant. That means you don't have to be as careful with them. They don't have all the leaves and all that stuff on them. A lot of times they're just a stick with a little root on the bottom and that's about it. They are typically a lot less expensive than potted trees. They're normally available December through February. I have personally found that there's a wider selection of fruit trees available as bare root trees. Now, I think the reason that you can get a wider selection of bare root trees is because shipping is so much easier on a bare root tree than it is on a potted tree. On a potted tree, they got to ship it, in this big old truck, and they're not able to put as much stuff together. Bare root trees, I have received them in a cardboard box. So shipping's a heck of a lot easier. I myself have a really big wish list of fruit trees. I just ordered 9, and I'm kind of weird about the way that I want to do things. A friend of mine works in a nursery, so I went to them first to see if they have the varieties that I'm looking for. I'll be surprised if they have some of them, because the varieties that I want, all but two, are over 100 years old since their discovery. You can bet that there'll be several mentions of these fruit trees in the future. Now, the way I selected my fruit trees is based on, of course, my zone, number of chill hour requirements. We'll talk about that in detail at some point in the future, too. and the function of the fruit. Now, here's the cool thing about being a backyard, or in my case, actually a front yard fruit grower. You don't have to care what the fruit looks like. Now, if you've ever gotten to go to a real farmer's market, okay? Now, what do I mean by a real farmer's market? A real farmer's market is where everybody in there, they bring what they grew on their property. They didn't buy it from another state. You know, for us, they didn't go down to Florida and buy a whole truckload of tomatoes and bring them up here and then try to sell them in our farmer's market. If you go to a real farmer's market, you're going to see some of the ugliest fruits and vegetables that you've ever seen in your life, but they're going to have flavor that'll just, they'll make you lick your lips so fast you'll beat your own brains out. Okay? So, one of my varieties that I've put in a special request is called Ashmead's Kernel. It's an apple variety. It's an ugly apple, but man, it tastes good. And it doesn't matter. Now, this is I want you to understand this. It doesn't matter if you just plant the same stuff that's in the grocery store. The stuff that comes out of your yard is going to normally taste better than anything that you can buy at the grocery store, even if you're planting the exact same stuff that they have. I just don't like to do that. In fact, there's nothing, well, there's two, that my wife wants that you can buy in the grocery store. Everything else you cannot find in the grocery store that's going to be in my yard. Okay? Next, building infrastructure. Now, due to the reduction of normal homestead chores, it's a perfect time for building infrastructure. You know, build an outbuilding or a fence or what have you. Now, this is going to depend majorly on whether or not your soil's frozen, how much rain you've had, shorter days, all of that. But you can still get a lot done in the time that you've got and have it ready when the growing season hits. Next, equipment, maintenance, and repair. I've got a buddy who's a small engine repair guy. Well, right now, he's playing tiddlywinks and twiddling his thumbs. Now, we're already kind of past the big rush on chainsaws and log splitters. There'll be some of those trickle in, you know, for another month or so. But right about the end of March, they'll be swamped with lawnmowers and garden tillers and small garden tractors and stuff like that. I have heard tell, he told me, that he has gotten lawnmowers in and tillers in the end of March that he didn't have done because he was so backed up till the end of April. That's a lot of lost growing time. So if you need to have maintenance done or anything like that, get with your repair guy. Now's the time to do it. If you're going to do it yourself, you know, drain the gas out of it. Oh, dear Lord, drain the gas out of it. It's going to save you some hassle. Go ahead and do your service. That's just time that you can do now when there's nothing else to do that's going to save you in the long term. All right? It's also a good time to clean up and care for your hand tools. Now, I'm talking, you know, your garden hoes, your axes, your scythes, all of that stuff. You can sharpen them up, you can clean them up. One of the best things that I've ever seen, as far as like hoes and axes specifically, is my great uncle. He kept a bucket full of sand that he had burnt motor oil in. And I know some of you's going, oh Lord, the burnt motor oil. But every time he would get done with his axe or anything like that, anything that has sharp edge on it, he would stick it down in that bucket. And then when he got ready to use it, he'd pull it out of that bucket and he'd wipe it off and he'd use it. And as soon as he got done, it went right back in that bucket. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That man never had to replace a hoe. He never had an axe rust. Ever. because of the way he took care of it. Now, you're still going to have to sharpen things. I bought a new hoe 2 years ago, and it took me 4.5 hours to sharpen that bad boy with a file, because I don't have a bench grinder right now. But it took me 4.5 hours to sharpen it to the point where I was willing to use it. Another thing to do right now is wipe down all your wooden handles. Now, I don't like fiberglass handles. I don't like them. I had never liked them. I like a wood handle, hickory or birch preferably. Okay? But you can wipe them down with boiled linseed oil, and that'll help protect. That linseed oil will soak into that stuff, and it'll help those handles stay good and firm and stout for years and years and years and years. So that's a pretty good list of stuff you can do right now that'll help you out next year, isn't it? And you know what? I didn't include everything. But if you can get any of these done before the weather gets too bad, or it gets too cold, or gets too rainy or snowy, then you're going to be ahead. I hope you enjoyed it. If you enjoyed it, I would really appreciate you taking the time to leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, what have you. Share it with somebody. Share it social media. Share it sneaker media. I don't care. I appreciate you listening. I'm looking forward to spending a lot more time with you. Step by step, we're bringing rural back. Bye.